Welcome to Being a Successful Leader with Carl Welty. Carl is a leadership pioneer with years of challenging leadership and consulting experience. Here's Carl with some valuable insights, practical and proven methods for being a successful leader.
Greetings all. Carl Welty here, your host of the ongoing podcast series, Being a Successful Leader. The intent of this series is to provide you, the leader, with valuable insights and practical and proven know-how. And the series revolves around three of my imperatives for successful leadership. The first is it all starts with you as a leader, and that's being a self-aware and skillful leader. And then we move out and we forge a direction and our identity, being why we exist and our purpose and the what we stand for, our core values. Okay, so that's our terra firma. And then we have a direction. We set a direction, which consists of translatable vision, and then a set of strategies, and then actions to carry out those strategies. So we have that in a sound strategy. That's the second of the three imperatives. Leadership begins with you, and then a sound strategy. And the last is of the three is building a culture of commitment. Not a culture of compliance, but commitment. People want to work with you and carry out those shared aspirations contained in your sound strategy, and not forced to. So those are the three, and all the episodes revolved around that. And what I like about the series is that we talk about a topic like today, and then if you want to pursue it further, the resources are my books, which are contained in my website, welty.com. Under Leadership Resources, you can click on the books and see the three books, one book for each of the three imperatives we just talked about. And then also the podcasts are captured by the sponsor, the programmer of the podcast, webtalkradio.net. So if you go to webtalkradio.net and you scroll over to channels and then go down and look at leadership in the workplace, hit on my icon, being a successful leader, and you can see all the past episodes there. Just click on what you want and it'll connect you to it. So that's kind of nice. You can go to that anytime as an ongoing resource to go deeper or to remind yourself or to reinforce what we're talking about here. So those are resources for you. Okay. Today's topic, the leader as giver, not taker. The leader as giver, not taker. And this episode, I draw upon some complementary work of two prominent researchers and authors in the area of human effectiveness and social science. And it's all about being a net giver over net taker and achieving genuine personal success and leadership. The first of the authors is Adam Grant. You may have heard of him. And Adam is a award-winning researcher, author, and highest-rated professor at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business. In his book, Give and Take, a recent book, Adam points out that the focus of individual success traditionally has been one of passion, hard work, talent, and luck. But in today's reconfigured world, success is more increasingly dependent on how we interact with others. And this is a huge and important implication for us as leaders. So let's take a look at some of the characteristics here of takers versus givers. Takers, they want a larger slice of the pie. Competition is what it's all about, winning and self-centered. On the other hand, the contrast of givers is to strive to expand the pie. And collaboration is a key feature, contribution. They're both self-centered and other-centered. They can have both motivations at once, just as ambitious as takers, just a whole different form there. And another author that I'll get to the second author of Give Overtake, but another author that echoes Adam Grant's research findings is a guy named Chris Anderson. Chris Anderson leads the TED organization. You may have heard of the TED organization having featured prominent speakers on different subjects. In fact, one of the highest rated speakers he's ever had under TED Talks was Adam Grant, and another I think the highest rating speaker that he's ever had is one we talked about, Brene Brown. Remember Brene Brown? We talked about her in terms of her great work on vulnerability. And Chris says that our human nature is grounded in being generous. His name of his book, by the way, is Infectious Generosity. Infectious Generosity just came out. Our human nature is to work with one another and be generous. But as we talked about in my model about who you are as your core plus your mental models, you may have been born this way, but along the way you picked up things in life that maybe isn't as much a part of your nature as it once was. And he claims, Chris does, that there's a rippling effect, especially turbocharged today, rippling effect of generosity as we reach out and touch people in special ways. And the internet can have tremendous impact in the ripple effect there. So I just mentioned Chris Anderson because it complements the work of Adam Grant. The second author I wanted to talk about in net giving over, net taking is Jim Collins. Jim Collins in his seminal work and his team's seminal work came up with dual attributes of effective leaders. And this came from his work, Good to Great, where they looked at leaders who have really made a difference, taking organizations that were okay and really taking them to a higher level. And what was about those people that did that? And Collins and his team came up with two dual attributes, as they called them. One was professional will to create superb results, unwavering resolve, and modeling the way. Professional will. And the second attribute they came up with was personal humility. They look out the window, not in the mirror. They give credit for organizational success to other people, external factors, and good luck. They channel ambitions in the organization, not the self. I'm reminded of the inverted pyramid you may have heard about. Instead of, you know, the top cheese at the top and everybody else is supposed to respond and, you know, carry out orders, you're inverted, and where the top dog is one that helps the front lines, if you will, be successful. So anyway, the two were professional will and personal humility come up with Jim Collins and his team. I put my spin on that and my two, the way I would reword and redefine these. One would be professional will, and that instead of professional will, I call it effective leader maturity. Now, we talked about maturity throughout our series, and remember my definition was maturity being a combination of competence, task relevant or position relevant, whatever, relevant competence and commitment, relevant competence and commitment. And in terms of leadership, commitment is or competence is leadership, management, and technical work. Remember my three dimensions of organizational work. So competence in leadership, management, and technical work. And then the personal commitment to carry that out. Then the second one, set of professional or personal humility, I call it a greater good orientation. And that to me is the net giver over the net taker, the inverted pyramid we talk about, and a growth versus fixed mindset. So my two attributes are effective leader maturity and a greater good orientation. I think that a little broader and a little deeper actually than the two that the research turned up. And throughout the series, in terms of being a genuine giver, you want to achieve a balance of self-interest and concern for others, a nice balance there of yourself and doing good things and so forth and looking out for others. And the main segments that we went through to help you do that in the series was to be a self-aware leader. Remember, we spent quite a bit of time in discovering and appreciating the real you and how to do that. If you want to look at the earlier episodes, you can do that. And it's also in my book, Leadership Starts With You. And then the skillful interactive leader as well as the self-aware leader, your perceptive skills as to what is going on here, and then constructive communication patterns to talk about differences in a constructive way, to seek to understand and be understood. And then the behavioral flexibility, like a rubber band, to given the environment, the relationship, or the situation, to be able to go faster, go slower, be more results-oriented, less results-oriented, that sort of thing. So a self-aware leader, a skillful interactive leader, all helping you be more of a net giver versus a taker. And remember, the result of these first two there was achieve a higher level of self, consciousness. And remember the definition, that was being keenly aware of self and others and using such awareness to enhance your relationships and communications. That's what that's all about, being more aware of yourself. And it means skillful as you interact, you get a higher level of consciousness where you can more effectively relate to others and achieve greater success in terms of your relationships and communications. Another part of what we did to help you be in the series, a genuine giver, is discovering and capitalizing on your strengths. We spent some time on that. And again, it's in the book, Leadership Begins With You. Then we moved to formulating and executing a sound strategy, which, of course, is the second of my three leadership imperatives. And there we thoroughly explored the three dimensions of a sound strategy. A strategic framework, I call it, identity, direction, and execution. Identity, just why we exist and what we're all about and what we stand for, and the direction being where we're going, what it looks like we're there, and how we're going to get there. And then the execution is using leadership behaviors and helpful structural mechanisms to accomplish the identity and direction. So that's pretty much the first two of the three. And then we went to a culture of commitment, my third imperative. And there it's getting the people, jacked about your sound strategy and, having a smart and healthy culture, not just smart in finance and manufacturing, that sort of thing, but also healthy in terms of the culture you build about the people. And the building blocks, the four building blocks we talked about, and it's in my book, Building Commitment, are selection, getting the right people in the right slot, targeted selection, clarity. We talk clear about making sure that you have shared aspirations with the people and groups and teams that you have. And we talk about a position plan, how to develop, capture the role and set of results a position is organized to achieve, and then their authorities. Then the third of the four is performance coaching. That's your, I have ongoing job-related, position-related conversations to help and help the person and continue coaching. And you shift the degree of involvement and directiveness you give based upon, again, maturity. Here we go in maturity of the follower or followers. As they mature more, competence and commitment, you can back off. You don't ever leave them. You always need to be there, and you don't want to neglect them just because they're doing real well, okay? And then growing teams was the fourth of the building blocks under building commitment, how to develop high-performing teams. And then we wrap things up there with self-coaching. I have a dynamite model that's in the book, especially it's in all the two of the three books anyway, but a nice process for you to go through, a thorough process if you want to work on making a behavioral change of some sort over and above just wishing it. And you should check that out if you haven't already. Okay, those are some of the things the series provides you in developing the capability and the competence and confidence to be a giver over a taker. Now, as we wind down this particular episode, I'd like to do something that may be a little different here. I'd like to take a glaring example of what true leadership is not. Throughout the series, we talk about what it is. We went through methods and concepts and practices, and along the way accrued quite a list of skills and attributes and traits that leaders demonstrate. And I'd like to use an example of just what it's not. And this, the intent of doing this is to solidify your understanding of the ingredients, if you will, of true leadership. And we need to look no further at an ugly example that stares us every day in the face in this country. And that's the dysfunctional Congress, U.S. Congress we have. And it's just the opposite of what you want as a true leadership. And it's not something to be modeled. And just look at the results, okay? No results. And hopefully this will change over time and we'll be better off on the other side, hopefully sooner the better. But let's take a look at this. The original concept here, the one that still hopefully exists, is that we have this republic, our form of government, which we all trying to aim for the greater good. We put people in office. And in this country, it turns out there's two parties, the Democrats and Republicans, and they have their own pathway, their own views of how to achieve the greater good. But the healthy part of it is that they debate, they argue, they compromise, and so forth. And there's winners and losers and givers and takers in this process, all for the greater good. And as you know, things shift back and forth over time, but they're all aiming for the greater good. Just how we get there and what we believe in and how to get there is different. So that's a big change, because today, rather than Congress, and especially talking about the extremes here, the extremes in both parties, in terms of getting the greater good. So instead of the greater good, they're in for their personal power and greed. It's probably much more on the right wing than the left wing for sure. But anyway, that's it. And that's pretty ugly. In terms of working together, which is another attribute of true leadership, they stay inside their bubbles and don't want to actually go outside their bubbles and have conversation and intelligent communication with people who think differently, believe differently, or look differently. And that's very, very dangerous, and it doesn't get us anywhere. Courage, that's another attribute. Instead of courage, they're spineless. They don't want to stand up to things, even in their heart and soul. They know the right thing. They don't do it because they're afraid of losing their job or some bigger power is going to knock them out and that sort of thing. And it's personal over country, right? Personal over the greater good. And it gets us nowhere. It'd be different if we knew what they don't even know what they want, other than that they don't want to govern. They just want to tear things down. Vulnerability. Instead of vulnerability, there's no other way. I would never admit that I was wrong or change my mind. Honesty. That was the number one, attribute or characteristic of admired leaders based on the research. And instead of that, we hear lies and deceit and distortion and just the opposite. Instead of integrity, whatever is currently most popular or beneficial to me. Instead of visionary, can't see beyond their nose most times, and just moment to moment, what it feels like, and just changing to be popular and to not be denigrated by their people in their bubble. Competence. Lack of qualifications. Again, don't even know what governing is. And many don't want to govern, just want to tear things down. And inspirational. That was another key attribute. Instead of inspirational, but getting people in terms of getting their own generators going and excited and so forth, it's more fear motivation and hate motivation. Really, really drastic. And instead of being growth-minded, it's fixed-minded. Well, I'll stop there, but those are just a whole list of attributes. And we talked about qualifications in terms of being a true leader. And you're seeing just the opposite every day right in front of us. Hopefully that gives you some better grounding in what effective or true leadership really, really is. Give a couple of book recommendations for you, if this is of interest to you in terms of historical perspective around this, what we've been talking about here. And there are two books. One is Prequel by Maddow. She's on TV. You see her. She really goes into depth on things. And Prequel was all about the sympathizers in this country with Nazi Germany back in World War II. And we had legislators and key figures and so forth, and all of what they were up to in trying to have America turn towards Nazism. And that same sort of thing, pattern of behavior, is rearing its ugly head again today. In the second book, I really recommend, it was Rachel Maddow, by the way, Rachel Maddow. And the second book is Fareed Zakaria. Fareed Zakaria, you may know Fareed on CNN, a Sunday morning program. Highly intelligent dialogue, highly intelligent, well-informed opinion, objective. And he has a new book, just came out, The Age of Revolutions, and it's about making progress and slipping back since the 1600s. He traces revolutions, some bloody, some not bloody, that really had an influence on how things are going now and what happened in the past. So I recommend that highly to you, The Age of Revolutions by Fareed Zakaria. Okay. Well, quite a trip we took here, and I hope you benefited from it. It's really important to understand just what leadership is and what it's not. Hopefully we furthered that today. Okay, a preview. Next week will be the final episode of the series. It'll be the 52nd and final. And I cooked up something a little bit novel, and I think you'll find it interesting. I make a little model, which I'll give you next week, in terms of dimensions of success. And then I'm going to use that model, and I'm going to tell you how to get a copy of it, use that model to track some of the highlights of the series that we've experienced together. Now, I think you find that both interesting and beneficial, and the model, I think, will serve you quite well as an ongoing resource. All right. So until we meet again next week and have a little bon voyage, you take care of yourself, and we'll see you.